Woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil sends the beast with wrath, because he knows the time is short. Let him who hath understanding reckon the number of the beast, for it is a human number. Its number is 666.
Herzlich willkommen zum Metal.de Podcast, der Podcast über Heavy Metal und allem, was dazugehört. Am Mikro begrüßt euch euer Gastgeber Henning.
Moin moin und herzlich willkommen zu einer neuen Folge des Metal.de Podcast. Diese Woche bringen wir euch ein Gespräch mit Jonas Ackerlund. Wem der Name jetzt überhaupt nichts sagt, den würde ich mal bitten, auf Wikipedia nachzuschauen. Da bekommt man einen relativ guten Überblick, was der Herr so in den letzten Jahren und Jahrzehnten alles verzapft hat. Wir haben mit Jonas gesprochen anlässlich der Veröffentlichung seines neuen Films Lord of Chaos, wo es, wie die meisten wahrscheinlich wissen, über Euronymous und Varg und die Band Mayhem und generell die ganze Black Metal Szene in Norwegen geht, aber insbesondere natürlich die tragischen Geschehnisse damals. Jonas war in seiner Wahlheimat Los Angeles zu erreichen. Wir haben mit ihm per Telefon gesprochen und ich finde, es ist ein sehr cooles und ehrliches Gespräch und Jonas ist wirklich einer der interessantesten Gestalten, die da draußen rumlaufen. Viel Spaß beim Hören.
You know, this airport that was supposed to open up, I think it was like 8 years ago and there was all this bad engineering done. So the airport is basically ready to go, but everything is broken and they have to renew everything and it gets pushed back and pushed back and pushed back. So,
I heard about this airport for years. I never understood why it didn't happen. I kind of like Tegel. I think Tegel is kind of like, it's the smallest, weirdest, ugliest airport ever, but it kind of works and I kind of like it.
Oh yeah, you mean Tegel?
Yeah.
Yeah, Tegel, I don't know how it works. I have no idea, but somehow it works. It's just a very peculiar little airport. In the supposedly capital of Germany, and it's a very humbling experience, I think, for us Germans to have a very small airport in our capital. So
yeah. No, I use it, of course, every time I go there.
Yeah, do you come to Berlin often? Is that something that?
Not as often as I wish, actually, because I really enjoy it there. But I go once a year or at least, and it depends on what I do. But I do like it there a lot.
Yeah, it's an interesting city these days. I mean, I remember after the war came down, I think it was very, very, you know, everything was so new and all those things happening and all those parties. And I think it just kind of slowed down a little bit, but it's still, you know, it's a fantastic place to go to. And got really expensive now. So all the properties are going up. So that's a thing.
Right. Right. You know.
And then they have this famous club called Berghain.
Of course.
Yeah, which course. Is like the Mecca. Have you been? Have you ever been?
Yes, I have. It was quite a while ago, but yes.
Yeah, it must be a surreal experience. I haven't been so far, but as far as I heard, it's a very interesting place to visit.
Yeah, for sure.
So thanks for taking the time, Jonas. I don't know if you remember, we once touched base. I think it was like 10 years ago when I was managing Tokyo Hotel, and I think I spoke to you about shooting a video for one of the singles.
Oh, right on. I thought I recognized your name. Yeah, okay, cool.
Yeah, and I spoke to your people, and it's good to see that you're still with the same management company or agency that you've been 10 years ago, so that's a good thing.
Yeah, I do a lot of long relationships. That's my thing.
Yeah, seems like a very loyal working business surroundings you have, which I think is great, you know.
What happened to the band? What happened?
You know, I'm still in touch with them. They are now, they're still living in Los Angeles, so they might be just around your corner. But they traveled to Germany quite a lot, to Berlin, and they still make music, and they're in fashion, and they're in a good space. I think they're very, you know, I think they, you know, they had to leave Germany, you know, and then they went to LA just to escape all the teenage, you know, craziness, and they slowed down, and I think they enjoy themselves, and they're great human beings still. You know,
so, great.
Yeah,
I'm happy to hear.
Yeah. So a lot happened, and I just been watching your Lords of Chaos movie, and obviously I remember that you know, when I was a metalhead in the 90s, I was never into black or metal, but I remember you know, how that impacted, I think, all of us and the whole end. You know, so I watched the movie. I think it's fabulous. I've read a lot about you speaking about the movie and your experience with the whole scene back in the days when you're a musician and you did the first Candlemass video with Dad and all that. And you know, I would love you to maybe explain a little bit what. You know, it seems like you have a very emotional attachment to the whole, well, not only scene, but also the whole topic as such. Is that correct?
Well, I think I did. I think I went through like what a lot of other people seem to go through with this story, where you think that this story is yours, and you think it's that you know it better than everybody else, and you think that nobody else can touch it. This is my story, and I was like that for a while, and then I realized that a lot of other people feel the same, and then I realized that a lot of young people that wasn't even born when this happened are so emotionally attached to this story, and I couldn't really figure out why, and I still haven't really figured out why. Because now I can tell it's true, because since the movie came out, a lot of people are having opinions about it, and a lot of people that wasn't even born when this happened. So there's something about the story that makes it very attractive, and I fell for it myself. Then eventually I got a little bit more distance when I decided to make a movie out of it. It became more like, you know, researching and trying to understand why they did it and trying to understand what happened, and at the same time kind of like find a balance of you know, making an interesting film, you know. So
right.
That I think it's a tough question, but I'm definitely one of those guys, one of many that fell for this story.
Sure.
You know, and yeah. The story more than the music, you know, the visuals more than anything else. And, you know, and what I was trying to do with the movie was something that I hadn't seen in any of the documentaries or read in any of the books, was to kind of like add an emotional attachment to it, and
yeah,
add a part where you see that they are kids and they're children, and there's a human side to it, you know, because if you look at all the documentaries and all the books and all that, it's very it's very, you know, it's demons and monsters.
And
there's an insert of fire, and then you see your church, and then you hear a deep voice telling the story about the monsters in Norway. So, so that's kind of like that became eventually what draw me to the story more than this. Than in the beginning, it was all about the visuals and all about the other stuff. But eventually, it became more and more a mission in life to make them human and try to find a different way of telling the story. There's no point of doing exactly what's already been done, you know, because the documentaries are doing a pretty good job telling the story.
Obviously
from different angles, because every documentary have its own angle, you know, they're all different.
Oh, absolutely.
Perspectives.
Yeah.
You know, just because it's a documentary doesn't mean it's true. You know, it's still somebody's perspective, you know.
Very true. Very true. Yeah, I watched the only documentary I watched was the Until the Light Takes Us. Which I think is the most, you know, known one. And I think, you know, I like what you said in one of the interviews, like you said, you know, there haven't been child molested, or they haven't been, you know, in really poor, brought up in poor families, or you know, and they were just, you know, very young kids, guys, you know, they're not monsters, and they're not superhuman. I think what comes across in the movie is that they are, yeah, just kids and with egos, you know, and piss and vinegar, and they just, you know, they just want to up themselves, you know, and I think that's a very good angle, you know, you have on these kids, you know, because they are humans after all. And I really like what you said, I think, in one of the interviews, is that sometimes it's about small decisions you make in life, you know. Sometimes it's just like where you said, you know, that you, when you were in that situation, when you were in that scene, you know, as part of Bathory or not, or at least in the genre, that, you know, you just have you know, that you make good decisions, you meet the right people, you find something else to do in life, and sometimes, you know, it's, you know, like you said, it's small decisions in life who make, you know, a huge difference in the end, you know.
Yeah.
And I think that's a very, very good thing. And you know, I mean, with your background, I mean, when you did the casting, I think the casting is exceptional. I think he's, you know, I think they're all very strong. And how did you have somebody in mind from the get-go, or did you, was that like a normal procedure? I mean, you know, so many people, or how did you do it in the end? I mean,
well, it was actually a little bit of a process, and also because the movie took so long to get made,
right?
It was, you have to kind of like, you know, especially when you cast young people, you know, because they potentially, you know, they could change so much over a year or two, you know, somebody right. could look very young, and then the next year they look really, you know, like full-grown men. So I kind of like had to...
How long did it take, Jonas, if you say it's such a long time? How long did you...
You mean to make the movie?
Yeah.
Well, it depends a little bit when you consider me starting, because I thought about it first for quite a while, and right. that was probably 10 years.
And then there was probably the finances.
I mean, but
right?
basically from me deciding that I wanted to write the script. Script work came down pretty fast, actually.
Right.
But from starting writing it to the movie was done, and Sundance last year was probably 6 years.
Wow. Wow.
And then it took another year before it came out.
Wow.
Because we premiered it at Sundance last year, not this year, last year.
Yeah,
and
I know.
Now it came.
I know.
And
I know.
It came out this year. So
I know, it just came out like 2 weeks ago. You know. And
yeah.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like it's not like it's extra long or anything. It's just like, you know, independent movies and these kind of movies just takes a little time, you know? It's
right.
Just like, and luckily for me, this movie is not getting old, you know? It's like,
no.
It's a story that's not getting old, so. But casting was obviously a big part of it, and Rory Culkin was very loyal to the project, and he did not go through that process when he started to age and look old. He still has a baby face.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
So I was, that was good for me. And then actually Jack Kilmer was attached to play the role of Varg,
right.
First.
Right.
But then a year later, I reconsidered it and thought that he would be better as Dead. You know, so it was kind of like a chemistry thing between the boys and kind of like figuring it out. But with
right.
Rory's attachment, it was kind of like a really good start, you know. And then Emery came on board really late. He was later. He came on board like later.
Right.
And he was just an actor that I've been keeping my eye on for a long time, and I thought he was really good.
Yeah.
You know, so I just desperately wanted to work with him.
Great. Okay.
Yeah.
Got it. What I really liked is you know, the harsh contrast of this really white IKEA happy, you know, backdrop, you know, with the houses. And obviously, you know, since I'm from the north of Germany, so I can totally relate to this white, clean Norwegian, you know, everything is great, everything is pretty. And then, you know, this harsh contrast, and there, that's something that visually I found really, really interesting and well done. And then, you know, what I also really liked is the humor you put in there. You know, when he was, I think when he tried to do that very serious interview, you know, with the Nazi logo, and then I think you know, one of the guys is offering him tea, you know, and they take off the shoes when they come in, and then, you know, I think when there's this interview with Kerrang. You know, and he's trying to spell.
Right.
He's trying. I thought that was really, really good. I thought that's something that, you know, with all the, they all take themselves so bloody serious. And I think it's something that, you know, is really, really good, you know, in that
yeah.
movie, you know.
Yeah, you know, and a lot of these scenes that you're mentioning now are, you know, are taken from, you know, the real words and the real interviews and the real stuff. You know, there's actually a really good documentary on YouTube where Finn, the journalist,
yeah.
tells the story of how he saw it and how this interview happened. And
right.
It's called Satan Rides the Media. And it's really funny, actually, how he explains when he got to the house and how dark it was and like all those things. So that's one I really recommend. It's a short one, but it's really mm-hmm. interesting to hear this guy Finn tell mm-hmm. the story.
Yeah, that's great. And then I thought it's really good to, because I read in an interview with you that, you know, the female part is something that you felt really strongly about, because obviously he went through that change, you know, and he cut his hair and he really was serious about that relationship and making that change within himself. And I thought that was a very strong angle, which goes back to, you know, you saying those, they were just kids. I mean, they were like 18, and obviously you want to be together with a beautiful girl and want to have a girlfriend and have a good time. And I thought that was really strong.
Yeah.
You know? So,
you know, it's been a lot of discussions about did he have a girlfriend or did he not have a girlfriend, and in like in real life, you know. And I think that, you know, I've fabricated this role a little bit, but the truth is that he actually did have a girlfriend, and a friend of mine actually stayed at Geronimo's house only right. 2 weeks before he got murdered. Right. And he told me about his girlfriend and all that, this girl that was around. And I just feel like it added, like, obviously the movie's all about these young boys, but it added like another perspective, you know, and that's what made it important to me.
As I think it is in real life, Jonas, I think that, you know, when you're young and you're, you know, whether you're in a band or you're in a soccer team or whenever, and then all of a sudden, you know, girls or women become interesting and your perspective and your agenda and your priorities change, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I think it really doesn't matter if she was serious girlfriend or just somebody, you know, he felt deeply connected to or he really liked. I think it's just the impact it had and how it, you know, how it really changed the dynamic between those two. And I thought that was really strong.
Oh, great.
Yeah. So, you know, there's some stuff that I just want to have your take on it, or if my imagination is running too wild, is that, you know, the Lord of Chaos. I mean, I always felt a book I read when I was really young, which had a huge impact in me, on me, is Lord of the Flies. I don't know if you know that book.
Of course I do, yeah.
Yeah, and it's something that, again, you know, where young kids, you know, play around and they are just, you know, they were so well behaved and they're so innocent, and then, you know, they turn into this, whatever you call it, the beast. And I found it really interesting, you know, because I know there's a pig head in the movie, and obviously in Lord of the Flies, I think they are kind of have this pig head as their god. Is that something you, is there any connection, or am I just making this up?
No, the answer is no. There's no connection. But when you, the way you say it now, yeah. And me, that book also having impact on me, maybe. I mean, the pig head is coming straight from what Mayhem was actually doing back then, you know. So yeah. It wasn't like I made it up, you know. It came from them, but it made me now think that maybe those guys were influenced by that book too. You know, it made me think that, you know, they were big fans of Lord of the Rings,
yeah,
like a lot of horror movies.
Yeah,
and like
well,
this and
with Vok, with Vok.
Yeah, you know, they love that stuff. So, but I never ever thought about them actually reading
right.
Lords of the Fly. I mean, but they probably did. You know, maybe there's a connection there that I
yeah.
didn't even think of.
Yeah,
but it's an interesting thing for sure.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's just something that popped because that book had such a huge impact on me, together with Animal Farm. But yeah, just a thought. So what's keeping you busy? You have another movie. I think that's on Netflix as well, which I still have to watch. But you're. You know, since Vice, I think Vice is the movie company that did this movie, and it's, you know, is streaming and Netflix and all the changes in the way people consume movies or stuff like that. Are you going with the flow, or are you still very much a cinema person, or are you just happy to be active?
You know, making films is such a big thing, you know. It's so much hard work that goes into it,
right.
You know. And my thing already from coming from music videos and, you know, commercials and all that,
right.
My thing has always been the more people that see your, your work, the better. Right. You know, it's like it's almost not worth it. If you go through all this hard work and then there's no platform for people to see it.
Sure. Yeah.
Then it's like, what's the point? You know. Right. So, for me, the idea of working with Netflix on Polar was scary in the beginning because, you know, I, as many other directors, want to see my movies in the movie theaters, and that's kind of like, you know, the dream is to have your work on a big screen.
Right.
But working with Netflix really opened my mind a little bit because it. Again, we put so much work into that movie, and the fact that so many people got a chance to see it and that so many people actually saw it, it's incredible. You know, I would never have got to that point with if I was going with Polar in movie theaters, you know.
Yeah, and what I get is that, you know, you're able to maybe they take more risks, and there isn't this do or die first opening weekend. And I mean, are they giving you? Are you getting like streaming numbers from them? So they give you the insight. Okay, this is how this is going or doing or.
Yeah, I mean, it's. I'm not so interested in like the specific numbers, but right. I am interested if it works or not. Right. And they have showed me. They indicated in many ways that a lot of people saw the movie and it's working really well. You know, and that's. You know, and on a completely different way, Lords of Chaos is kind of like making its way slowly. You know, we've done like 40 festivals now, and it's slowly coming out. And to me, like every screening is like a gift on Lords of Chaos. Every time
it's in the biggest. Whoever is doing your PR here in Germany, it's working. I mean, it's I think the biggest daily newspaper. Is now streaming it 2 days, and it's all over the news feed. So I think they've done an exceptional job. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, no, and I always believed in Lords of Chaos for Germany. You know, I always kind of like I was hoping that it was going to work there, but it's also happening in some other countries and around the world. You know, Australia's doing really well. You know, UK has been great. Like, you know, it's very, you know, in America too, you know, it's like, it's a different type of marketing, but it's slowly like getting there, you know, and again, no rush, like, no, I don't care about first weekends and stuff like that either, you know, that's not the world we live in anymore, you know, but
exactly.
to have the audience dictate what they want to see and decide themselves when they want to see it and how they want to see it, that's fine with me, you know. I love the streaming services, and I'm using them every day myself, you know. And I still go to the movie theaters, and I still love the idea of movie theaters, and I hope that it doesn't go away. But
especially when you have kids.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's great. But
it's like the whole ritual, you know. And it's me and my daughter. She's 14. You know, we're kind of setting aside. Oh, April is gonna be busy. We got Game of Thrones, and then we have to go to the Avengers, and then, you know, it's like the whole ritual is great. You know, and it's still magic. For me, it's still magic. You know.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. And we do it a lot here. We go see a lot of movies here in the movie theaters in LA. You know, we really do that.
So, so what's next? I mean, anything exciting you're working on? Anything that you feel very strongly about? Besides, I've seen that you have an own absinthe now called Ditch, which is... Very cool. I love the Instagram page because I couldn't tell you if it's for I thought it's a photo Instagram page, but it's so well done that it doesn't really include any of the alcohol or the brand. It's just a great Instagram page.
Yeah, cool. Well, it's been like a little side thing for me for a while. I did like a scented candle for my house, and I figured out like my own smells. I did a perfume and a scented candle.
It's
very bitter and it's very dark and it smells like ditch. So I call the whole thing ditch. and then I'm a big absinthe fan, and we just created and made our own absinthe. It's black in color and it's very strong and it's pretty rough.
It's pretty rough.
Like in a good way.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like drinking rat poison, basically, but it's like in a good way.
Well, that's Scandinavians and their alcohol for you. There you go.
Yeah, exactly. And
I know your wife is doing, I've read that she's done something for IKEA, which I thought is really interesting. And that was really out there for IKEA, right? I mean, it's just like really...
It's a while ago now. It was last year, but she did this beautiful like a collection of her stuff. I think it was like 30 something items, and it was great. It was great. Well, you know, so I'm kind of like back at doing what I did before as well. You know, I still do a lot of music videos. I still commercials and all that, you know, but I am focused on making my next movie pretty soon. So that's, again, like every movie is like a miracle and it takes a little time to get it done and like all that. But, I am working on it and,
Did you see, did you see the new Rammstein video?
Yeah, I did.
What do you think of it?
No, and of course it's great. I mean, everything Rammstein do is great. I'm a fan since many years back.
Yeah,
you know that. But
I know.
So yeah, of course it's great. It's
yeah,
great.
Yeah, it I think it put a lot of people to rest over here in Germany that they were after all not a Nazi right wing band.
Right.
I think that you know, the media finally came to grips that this is just, they're just a very well organized marketing and great musicians. I think they've done themselves and this country a huge favor with doing that video. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. So, yeah. Jonas, thanks so much for taking the time and being so open about it and you know, been a real honor. I love your videos, I love what you've done and you know, huge fan, and I wish you all the best for the future.
Oh, thank you so much. It was great to hear your voice again, and let's stay in touch and do it again soon, okay?
Absolutely. Whenever you're ready and whenever you want to do something, I'm here.
Okay.
All
right, we're great. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye.